You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Instead of becoming more thankful as God blesses us, we become less thankful and more indifferent. Why?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Gracious and Almighty God, during this coming week of National Thanksgiving, help us to recognize the many blessings you have showered upon us. Make us aware that without you, we would soon perish. Forgive us for the many times we have been unthankful. Cleanse our hearts, restore our spirits, and grant peace to our restless soul. Heavenly Father, we especially thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ into the world. We give you thanks for making this life and the life hereafter possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It is becoming increasingly popular for newspaper journalists, advertising agencies, and radio and television commentators to use the phrase, the good life. By using the expression, the good life, they are trying to describe a lifestyle which most people desire and are willing to do almost anything to attain. In a recent study conducted by the Joint Center for Urban Studies of MIT and Harvard University, some very interesting facts were revealed. This extensive study reflects what many people believe is necessary to live the good life. The good life, said a woman in Kansas City, is when you are not living in luxury, but have a lot more than the necessities. To the average citizen in Kansas City and Boston, the good life means an income of $25,000 a year, a seven-room house in the suburbs, two cars, and a three-week vacation. Among other things, the report also pointed out that Americans divide themselves into certain social and economic categories. For anyone to consider himself successful, he must earn $60,000 a year. For anyone to experience the good life, he must earn at least $25,000. Anyone making $12,000 a year is barely getting by, and those earning anything less are considered poverty-stricken. These statistics indicate a dramatic change from living standards which existed shortly after the turn of the century. 50 years ago, any family owning only one car and having limited indoor plumbing was considered living the good life. The past 50 years have brought tremendous technological changes. Household furnishings, considered luxury items 25 years ago, are now considered basic necessities. It is indeed sad to say, however, that the more we have, the more we want. But even worse, as we become more and more prosperous, there is every indication that we are becoming less and less thankful. What a tragedy! What a tragedy that those whom the Lord has most lavishly blessed, these same people, have become some of the most indifferent and unthankful individuals in the entire world. During this week of National Thanksgiving, may I encourage you to stop to count your blessings. May I encourage you by the power of the Word of God to say with David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. There is always a strong temptation for us to believe that the technology of our society and the accumulation of our personal wealth of cars, homes, real estate, and other material goods is a direct result of something we have done. We want to take the credit. May God the Holy Spirit help us understand that our gracious Heavenly Father gives us everything. He is the one who makes our entire life possible. May God the Holy Spirit during this coming week work mightily in your heart and move you to bow your head in humility and say, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He has given us a government under which there is freedom of religion, the freedom to worship as we please. What an undeserved blessing in a period of history where one-third of the population of the world lives under the tyranny of godless communism. A time in history when the future of the remaining nations is becoming increasingly uncertain. A period of history where more and more governments are now being administered by atheistic dictators and despots. Not because we have deserved his favor, but only because of his grace has our Lord prevented those who seek to destroy our freedom from placing us under the bondage of political slavery. How long will the Lord sustain these islands of freedom surrounded by the oceans of tyranny? How long will the Lord retain an environment where without interference the good news of the gospel can be preached? The good news that Jesus Christ died to save all men from the condemnation of their own sins. Sins of lust, stealing, gossip, adultery, homosexuality, and blatant sins of open rebellion and godlessness. As we realize that our Lord watches each one of us and knows all about our personal lives, this should move us to appreciate that our Heavenly Father is a God of love, mercy, and long-suffering. It is no wonder that David exclaimed, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. Were it not for this mercy, and should our Lord deal with us as we deserve, we would be banished immediately, destined to exist forever in the everlasting fires of hell. Perhaps you can recall an incident which took place in your life during the past week. A situation where you consciously did something you knew your Lord would not approve. Maybe it was gossip or some other seemingly innocent but terrible sin. Your Lord has every reason to let you follow your own course of self-destruction. Because of the great unexplainable miracle, however, the miracle of his grace, he continues to show his mercy. He stands ready at all times to forgive us. He continues to plead with us to return to him through the only way possible. He is pleading with you today to accept his love and grace by placing your faith, your complete trust, in what Jesus did when he died on the cross. God is asking you and me, our entire nation, especially during this week of Thanksgiving, to repent of our sins of rebellion and thanklessness and seek him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He has given us unprecedented blessings in the field of medicine. So many medical discoveries have now been made that there are currently few diseases for which there is no cure. Many of you listening today are in your sunset and retirement years. You may recall how during your childhood days, mothers lived in fear that their children would have to live much of their lives with the scars of smallpox, scarlet fever, and measles. Only 30 years ago, parents frequently stood by helplessly as their children were taken from them through polio and other death-dealing diseases. Most of these diseases have now been conquered. Instead of praying more as God continues to bless us and as life becomes easier, we pray less. Instead of becoming more thankful, we become less thankful and more indifferent. How long will the Lord overlook our attitude of sinful pride? God is a jealous God. How long is he going to permit us to turn our backs on him? In a world of heart transplants, kidney transplants, and brain surgery, we enjoy giving ourselves credit for what we have not done. In the midst of our pride, God speaks powerfully, loudly, clearly, and with all the authority of heaven and earth when he says, Be still and know that I am God. He wants to graciously remind us that without Him, we as individuals or as a nation are nothing. As we contemplate our all-wise, all-knowing, and all-gracious God, we should be moved to say with the psalmist, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He has blessed our nation so richly that our food surplus has actually become one of our main problems. Have you ever really thought about this? Our surplus food is one of our main problems. Thousands of children in many parts of the world cry themselves to sleep because of the pain of hunger and the threat of starvation. At the same time, we in our country hurry to the medicine cabinet to use one of the hundreds of medicines designed to ease the discomfort of indigestion and overeating. Perhaps, if we had to live in a place where food and other basic necessities of life were scarce, we would begin to understand how gracious our Lord has been to us. Several years ago, a Lithuanian sailor jumped from his Soviet ship to a Coast Guard cutter along the New England coast. He was immediately dragged away by the Russian sailors and ultimately sentenced to prison in Siberia. Later, he was allowed to emigrate to the United States. As he observed the many blessings most people consider basic necessities of life, he said, "I see things I believed existed only in dreams." Because of his background, he could begin to understand how richly blessed many of the affluent nations are today. One of the primary reasons for our unthankfulness is our tendency to compare ourselves with those who have much more than we do. We prefer to compare the quantity of our material goods with that of the extremely wealthy. This causes us to feel disadvantaged and in some cases even poverty-stricken. Rather than comparing ourselves with the extremely wealthy who represent a minority, we ought to compare ourselves with a majority of the world's population, which has much less than we do. Last year, Kentucky Fried Chicken sponsored an art contest for grade school children. Over 400,000 young students participated in the contest called See Our Country's Goodness. By using a variety of techniques, including tempera paint, crayons, cut paper and oils, these children expressed what they felt symbolized our country's goodness. Many who received prizes had submitted paintings and drawings illustrating the vast riches of our natural resources and our agricultural products. Even at their young age, these children understood that the nation in which they lived had been graciously blessed in every respect. This is a sad commentary on us as adults who frequently find ourselves griping and complaining rather than reflecting on the many blessings available to us. We may eventually end up as a society where children will be called on to speak the wisdom of thankfulness. Perhaps during this Thanksgiving season, you will be led to realize that God has richly blessed you with more than you deserve. You realize this, but for some reason, you don't feel thankful. You would like to be thankful, but the desire to turn to your Heavenly Father with a thankful heart is just not in you. If this is the way you feel, don't despair. You are experiencing a natural feeling, a feeling experienced by many today. It is a natural feeling because it comes from our very nature. It comes from within us. It comes from our cold and calloused heart, which has been corrupted by sin. Jesus spoke of this when he said, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and these evil things come from within and defile a man." Out of this same heart come the feelings of indifference and thanklessness. How can this be changed? No amount of preaching, no amount of admonishing, no amount of pulpit pounding, no lecture, no matter how eloquent it may seem, has the power to change a thankless heart. Only the Holy Spirit can release the grip of the sin of pride on the human heart. Only the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can restore our heart and lead us to give thanks and praise to God for what He has done. With your family, or in the quiet of your own room, through prayer, ask your Heavenly Father to help you understand who He is and what He has done for you. Ask Him to help you realize that our world did not just happen by accident or evolve, but that it was created as described in John chapter 1, which says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Each day of our life we need to be constantly sustained. Without this, we would soon perish. The powerful word of the Bible, as found in Hebrews chapter 1, says, "Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Pray also that the Holy Spirit would help you understand what our Lord did for you when he sent his Son to die on the cross. The Bible explains what Jesus did in Ephesians chapter 1. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." The psalmist said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Then he added, "For his mercy endures forever." For his mercy endureth forever. What beautiful words of hope. What a tremendous promise. Several weeks ago, I spoke with a young lady who has been richly blessed by the Lord. She has a college education, a good job with a travel agency, and lots of friends. After pointing out her many blessings, she said, "There's one thing that bothers me. I'm scared to die." She continued, "I don't know why this bothers me, but I'm scared to die." Through his mercy, our Lord has taken even the scare out of death. And that is another thing to be thankful for. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again on the third day, by his resurrection, he defeated the power of death. The Bible teaches that all who place their faith and trust in Jesus will be raised from the dead to a life of eternity with God. Death is no longer a problem. This good news is beautifully expressed in the Bible when it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Take time today. Take time right now to reflect on what God has done for you. Count your blessings one by one. Try to imagine what it would be like if there were no eternity, if everything ended after this life. Ponder in your heart what despair there would be if there would be no hope for life after death. How terrifying if after this life we would be faced with the condemnation of our own sin. Turn to your Lord with a repentant heart. Turn to your Lord with a heart filled with thanks. During this Thanksgiving week and each week following, repeat the words of David, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Amen.